Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
FootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Hey, Monday! Hey, Monday! We get better and better! We get better and better! We get BB! We get BB!
BB! NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. Mike Florio joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Michael, good morning.
Morning, Mike.
What's going on, guys?
Well, you know, there's another name out there. Phillip Rivers now available. There's been a divorce, and we want to get into it a little bit because, of course, whenever a quarterback becomes available, we're in Chicago. So we immediately think, despite them saying that that they're going to stick with Mitch Trubisky. Wow, wouldn't it be great to have Tom Brady? Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if Phillip Rivers was brought in? Another guy that probably doesn't fit anything other than the hopes and dreams of fans.
What do you do with Trubisky if you bring in Rivers?
You have to sit him.
Now, do you sit him right out of the gates, or is it a Marcus Mariota, Ryan Tannehill thing where Trubisky gets a chance to show that the fire has been ignited under his rear end, and then Rivers...
He sits, Mike. Okay. He sits, Mike. I mean, anybody that's watched the Bears last season, he sits.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. You're not getting Rivers if it's an open competition or you're coming in as number two.
Right.
Rivers is going to want to go somewhere where the contract that he signs makes it clear he's the guy for 2020. Not he's the Mike Glennon who holds the job until Mitch Trubisky is drafted in late April. We've seen every year there's a guy who signs that contract in March that doesn't scream out clear-cut starting quarterback, and then he ends up being the guy who's just holding the spot until the first-round pick takes over. It's going to have to be $25 to $30 million, and it's going to have to be a team that basically gives him the keys to the car. And I don't know that they're is an obvious candidate out there. If the Titans didn't have Ryan Tannehill, yes. Maybe the Panthers if they move on from Cam Newton. Maybe the Colts if they decide to back off Jacoby Brissett for a season and see what they can do with Phillip Rivers. Maybe the Buccaneers if they don't keep Jameis Winston. There's so many different ways the dominoes can fall. And look, New England is an opportunity for Phillip Rivers if Tom Brady leaves. And Tom Brady, even though Phillip Rivers is the first domino to fall, Brady is the domino that's going to start the chain reaction. And once we know where Brady is going to be, or more specifically, once we know he's not going to be in New England, if that's what happens, that's when the dominoes really begin to start falling.
And it is a much less import, Mike, but I am curious what you think will happen now that the Chargers have kind of divorced themselves from Phillip Rivers. What do they do at quarterback?
I'd make a trade for Cam Newton because they need a guy who will resonate with the LA fan base. They need a superstar. And I think this is a good time to try to get Cam Newton because I just personally believe that there's fatigue in and around the Panthers with this constant question of Cam Newton's health. And every time he gets healthy, how long will he stay healthy? Is he healthy? How's his shoulder? How's his foot? How's his shoulder? How's his foot? Is he injured? Is he okay? Can he run? Can he throw? And you just get worn out. And I feel like with what's going on in Carolina, with new ownership, a year and change removed from the purchase from Jerry Richardson, a new head coach, I just think that it makes sense for them to move on from Cam Newton, and I think it makes a ton of sense for the Chargers to target a guy who is, as he described himself in 2011 to Peter King, an entertainer and an icon. Get him to L.A. That's what they need to start doing. You know, they moved to L.A., but they never really moved to L.A. There's a way that you have to be from a talent acquisition standpoint to compete in LA, and the Chargers have yet to figure that out. And I think moving on from Phillip Rivers is that first step that they've ever made toward adapting to the LA market.
I think when you start talking about quarterbacks, particularly veteran guys, you start looking for connections, right? You start looking for, you know, everybody's saying now Philip Rivers to the Colts. You know, that makes a lot of sense. If Drew Brees ends up leaving New Orleans, then I could see Chicago sitting up and taking notice. Then I could see Ryan Pace saying, you know, this guy can play quarterback, and you know, going to Matt Nagy. And I think it would take something like that for them to give up on Mitchell Trubisky.
Well, Drew Brees has said it's the Saints or no one. He's either going to play for the Saints another year or he's going to retire. And he's reiterated that several times. And I don't think that's BS. Now, I just don't – I'm not going to entertain the possibility of Brees going somewhere else. And I look at it this way. By the time Brees would have said that publicly, enough time would have elapsed after the season for his agents to have gotten wind of significant financial interest in Drew Brees from another team. And the fact that Brees is taking the position, Saints or no one, I think implies necessarily that there hasn't been that phone call that would entail the kind of money that Brees would say, well, I'm willing to throw away my legacy in New Orleans and go play somewhere else because I can't say no to the money. And, it makes sense. I mean, the injury last year, the issues with his deep ball, he's going to be 40, or he is 41. So I just think that it's New Orleans or nothing for him.
Mike, learned this morning on ProFootballTalk.com that Ryan Tannehill is changing agents, going to CAA. What do you think that means?
Well, you know, I need to make a grid of all the free agent quarterbacks and who the agents are, because you really can't. And people don't understand how this works. There's a certain kingmaker quality for some of these agents. Mm-hmm. And by how quickly they return phone calls, how they respond to offers, the negotiating strategies, they really have a ton of influence in where free agents go. And sometimes you get, you know, vendettas that are being played out. Maybe I don't like this GM. I'd like to see this GM fail. I'm not giving him my guy. I'm sending my guy somewhere else. And I think if players understood how some of these agents treated their clients like pawns on a chessboard, they would be appalled and they would just be mortified by it. But I've heard enough talk from some agents, not all, and I don't agree with this. I don't think it's the way to best represent your client, but it really makes me wonder how much of that kingmaker quality is going to play into this, and whether you're going to have some agents that kind of become intoxicated by the power that they're going to have as we start moving all these pieces around on the chessboard.
Taysom Hill has come out, Mike, and said that he sees himself as a franchise quarterback and he definitely wants to be a starter. Is he going to get a job, or could he be a guy you bring in as a backup and use him in different ways?
Well, here's the thing. If he views himself as a franchise quarterback, that tells me he's not going to sign an offer sheet in restricted free agency that doesn't reflect a willingness to treat him as a franchise quarterback and pay him accordingly. The Saints view him as a franchise quarterback. Sean Payton has compared him to Steve Young, and Sean Payton is not someone to recklessly engage in hyperbole. We've only seen the surface for Taysom Hill because he's stuck behind Drew Brees, right? I think if Brees stays, we're going to see a lot more Taysom Hill. Drew Brees told us at the Super Bowl that if it's 25, 30 snaps a game for Taysom Hill and the Saints are winning, he doesn't care. Let's do it. And I think this would be kind of a transition year from Brees to Hill if Brees does play. But the Saints have plans for Hill. I think the Saints are going to see whether or not someone signs him to an offer sheet, and I think they'll do whatever they have to do to match it. This guy fell into their laps a few years ago. They've realized what a special talent he is. Durability, I think, is the biggest issue. But if you keep him with Sean Payton, and the way that Sean Payton just draws up plays and is always looking for ideas and understands what his personnel can do and how he can match his personnel to different plays that he sees out there and how he can make it work against a defense, I think Taysom Hill could be a superstar. And it's amazing that so many people view that as some sort of a reckless hot take. Anybody who says that they don't think Taysom Hill can be a star hasn't been paying attention to Taysom Hill. He was, during the playoff loss to the Vikings, the best player on the field for either team. Paul Allen said, after that bull in a china shop run by Taysom Hill that really created a sense the Saints were going to come back and win the game, Drew Brees comes back on the field, and Paul Allen, who does the Viking game, said, I can't believe I'm saying it. I'm relieved Drew Brees is back in the game. That's the impact Taysom Hill had in that playoff game, and that's the kind of impact he could have if he's a full-time guy, if he can stay healthy.
Mike, we've been talking about the XFL the last couple of days after a successful first weekend. I'm just curious what you think. How are the NFL front offices watching the XFL in terms of players, in terms of developing maybe coaches and maybe even executives?
I mean, this is a great opportunity for more reps for everyone connected to the game. This is what the NFL would like to have. Now, like anything else, they'd love to control it. And there would be an NFL minor league if they thought it could make money. They had the World League, the NFL Europe, NFL Europa. It had like 10 different names before they shuttered it more than a decade ago because it just was bleeding money and it wasn't worth it to the NFL any longer to have that proving ground. But if someone else is going to set up a proving ground and the NFL can cherry pick the best players, the best coaches, the best officials, the best talent, then they're going to do it. And, you know, the best ideas. I love the new kickoff. I don't know if you guys have seen it,
yeah. But
it looks like electric football, doesn't it? You've got all those guys lined up 5 yards apart, and it's like, you know, you're not flipping the switch until the returner catches the ball. I think it's awesome, and it takes out the high-impact collisions that have plagued the NFL with the concussions, remember the Kevin Everett from 2007 when he broke, you know, he either broke his neck or they thought he broke his neck and they had to move quickly to keep it from being much worse than it ended up being. I mean, those are very serious injuries that happen when two grown men in armor are running at full speed directly at each other. You keep them 5 yards apart, they're not getting to full speed. So I hope the NFL is willing to say, hey, that's a good idea, and we're not too proud to steal it if we think it works for us. Now, will the XFL survive? I don't know, right? They've got these weekends in February kind of to themselves. It all changes when free agency starts. It all changes when March Madness starts, and I hope that they can find a way to stand out among that crowd.
Mike, the NFL Europe is coming back. It's just known as the Jacksonville Jaguars, apparently.
Slightly better quality of play, hopefully, though. Hey, there. You know, here's the thing, and this is a trait of American business, and I am a capitalist through and through. I understand that the name of the game is to make as much money as you can, but there's this constant belief among big business that you always have to be making more and more and more and more and more, and you keep finding places in the pizza to stuff the cheese, right? There's a point where you're overdoing it. And there's a point where you're losing part of yourself in this never-ending quest for more and more and more. And that's what I'm afraid the NFL is going to eventually do. They're going to cross that line. This idea of flexing games from Sunday to Monday nights, they're willing to do anything they can to continue to expand revenue. But at some point, they're going to hurt themselves in this never-ending grasp for that, you know, that next brass ring.
Back to the quarterbacks for a second, Mike. When you look at around the league, you don't hear a lot about maybe Dak Prescott becoming available. Do you think he's definitely going back to the Cowboys, or what's the latest there?
You know, it's funny. Michael Irvin was on WEEI in Boston on Friday, and he blurted out that he's had some very significant people tell him that the Cowboys could make a run at Tom Brady. And as ridiculous as it sounds, and then Irvin put the toothpaste back in the tube saying none of those significant people are employed by the Cowboys. Well, they're still significant people. And if somebody is saying that, you know, I think there's a chance the Cowboys are quietly getting exasperated with Dak Prescott taking a hard line. He's refused all their offers. He's going to force them to apply the franchise tag. And then if they don't sign him to the contract he wants before the start of the offseason program, he's not going to show up. I mean, he is treating this like a business, and it's driving the Cowboys crazy. And the question is, and here's where it gets wild. What's Jerry Jones want to do more than anything else? He wants to win another Super Bowl. Okay, this year, how do we do it? Well, Dak's giving us a hard time, and Tom Brady greater than signed Dak Prescott in 2020. Maybe, you know, it's crazier things have happened. And I could see Jerry Jones at least entertaining it because he doesn't like, I assume, the way Dak Prescott is refusing these contract offers, and he likes potentially the idea of nabbing a Tom Brady, pairing him with Mike McCarthy, and saying, let's go get that one more Super Bowl trophy that I've been coveting for 25 years. Wouldn't it be something?
I
love chaos, yeah. And that would be chaos. And this year, people need to wake up to it. Phillip Rivers is just the mild warning shot. This offseason could bring unprecedented chaos to the NFL because of this weird game of musical chairs with quarterbacks where, guys, I'm not sure whether there's going to be more butts than seats or more seats than butts.
Right.
But when the music stops, We don't know what the hell the NFL is going to look like.
That's the fun part. Yeah, thanks, Mike.
Mike, bye. You're the best.
See
thank
you.
You.
Stuff.
All right, buddy. That is, it's always a joy to talk to Mike.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.